The standout story this week is Bungie pursuing fraudsters. A malicious party created fraudulent DMCA requests purporting to be Bungie's legal partner in order to take down legitimate Destiny 2 content creator YouTube videos, and Bungie wants to bust those abusers. I'm in favor of the DMCA in theory, but implementing it affects nearly every party in the process, and we see nearly all of that in this story. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to bring you details on this and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again with episode number 908 of our show for April the 3rd of 2022. My name is Rob Roberts, and I am joined every week here with my co-host. Say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
Hi, good to see you again.
Yeah, well, I bought a $120 webcam for $45 on Mercari, brand new.
Hooray for sales.
So, well, or however this person managed to get a hold on of it and sell it. I ask no questions. It's a nice Logitech.
Yeah, you look great. So good to see
you
again.
It's a 1080. I mean, I prefer the 4K of my iPhone, you know, but...
It ends up getting shrunk down on camo. It ends up getting shrunk down to a little box when we're taping OLR anyway.
And I also realized this is going to come in handy for my marathon because my phone doesn't charge when I'm using camo.
Mm.
So if I'm going to be on 12 hours, I think that's going to be necessary.
There you go. Of course, I'm talking about some visuals because we do tape live every Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, VOG Network, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. Also joining me on this program, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. I'm trying to determine what that game is. It's a very loud, bright game, and it's not one I recognize. I feel like I should know it.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the name was. It's, something with a snail. It's,
Ew.
No, it's called Will You Snail.
Ew.
But it has nothing to do with the little creatures. I don't see those in there, so that's interesting. Huh.
It does. It's basically, so what's kind of the unique thing about the game is you're trying, it's like a speedrun game, but the game has AI and will know basically what, like how you play and try to trip you up based off of how you play.
Okay, that's a clever mechanic. I'll give it that. Okay. All right. So it's like the anti-speedrunner game. I kind of like that. That's
sort of
good.
Yeah.
I actually have a pretty nasty phobia of snails and slugs, right?
No, yeah, but
it's a very cartoon snail. It reminds
me of, it doesn't matter.
Of like,
I can't look at them at all. Like not even the giant racing one from the Neverending Story.
I only remember the horse getting eaten by the lake in that one.
It
reminds me of like Number Munchers for some reason. Like, I don't know, like something like that, like an old PC or I don't know.
Yeah, it's got a retro look to it. It's like that retro, but like with modern graphic touches. It makes me think of this was in the news this week, but it's not on our show roll tonight, so I can mention it. It's the Doom. You know, that source code's everywhere, right? Because people have ported Doom from the 1990s to, like, run on a toaster, right? We know Doom is everywhere. Somebody got a version of that running on, like, ray tracing. And that's showing up because, like, a lot of people are saying, like, wow, it makes Doom look like a crazy, like, new, different game. And that's kind of, like, what the game playing behind you makes me think of because it's a retro game, but it's got, like, new flashy elements to it. So.
It's true, yeah.
Yeah. So. Anyhow, let's talk a little bit about our kickoff topic tonight, because we are here to talk about video games with you all in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VOG Network. Bobby Blackwolf is there finding the link to the game that is featured on Loki's stream there. And Dark Soccer is mentioning the 1080p Pro stream, writing out the tech that she's using if you need to get a copy of that for yourself. All right, let's get into tonight's kickoff topic, and it can quite simply be put as na-na-na-na, hey, goodbye. E3 2022 is officially canceled. It's not happening.
Good.
I was going to come in here and do a whole I told you so thing, but then I realized I mean, I feel like I've been kind of saying this for a little bit, but the week where I really said, like, E3 is not happening, and I don't know why you all keep think it is happening. It is not happening because it would have been announced by now. That was the week we ended up stopping the show 30 minutes in, and it wasn't podcast. So I'm like, oh, God, gosh darn it. The one the one thing I doubt you cannot argue, I called it, is lost.
You had witnesses.
Yeah, that's true. I had witnesses. A lot of the live folks.
I don't recall you ever saying that ever.
Well, guess what? Guess what? I ended up saving the footage. I was going to let it, because today was the day it gets deleted, because stuff stays on Twitch for 2 weeks. So I was going to let it get deleted today. And I was like, ah, shit. If I said that, and I'm gonna, I might as well just save it, whatever. It'll be a special little thing, I guess. So anyway, it's there. It's there in the archives. So
that's fake news.
thank you everyone in chat for inflating my ego. Jason, our voiceover guy, is there in chat saying, you know what's funny, I was gonna say Rob called it in my first draft of the intro. Tiger Claw in chat says, with Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony doing their own thing, they don't need E3 anymore. Well, it's interesting. And, you know, Bobby went into
the current iteration of E3 is garbage anyway.
Yeah. Bobby went in depth on this on his show a little bit, talking about kind of like the industry basically has no trade show right now because, you know, the consumers demanded to be let into the trade show. And I thought he made some very good points and kind of ended up on an aha moment towards the end of the show. Like, when did E3 really start to shit the bed? I don't know how else to put it. And I honestly, a lot of it is on, and I really put most of the blame at the feet of the ESA. And I've been saying this for a long time. This one's a little more of a hot take. Take it or leave it. The ESA is an archaic organization that is doing no good for this industry right now. And I don't know why the ESA is still in business, quite frankly. When Sony backed out of E3, that should have been the beginning of the end for the ESA. I kind of think it was. I think they're just dying a much slower death. The thing is that
in any industry, innovation is difficult. Anything that changes what people are used to is, well, I mean, people are slow to change.
And I don't disagree. However, this is the fucking tech industry, and I would expect the ESA to be innovating. And you're right in that they don't, and that's why they're a failure, and that's why they got hacked all those times that they did, because they can't even live up to the security that they're preaching other people to follow. Like, the ESA is a joke. Like, and so I, for one, will not miss E3. Rest in piss. Bye. And I think, you know, we got into a lot of it a couple weeks ago about how a lot of what E3 kind of stood for 20 years ago doesn't hold up anymore. This industry had a lot of growing up to do, still has some growing up to do, but it's grown up a little bit. You know, I think we can look that there has been progress made in the last 20 years, and I don't think the show of 20 years ago is going to hold up anymore. So I think that E3... that all of you remember being televised on G4, which was that point that we kind of hit on at the end of Bobby's show, where when they started televising E3 on G4, it turned up that FOMO dial to 11. What other trade show was televised on TV 24/7?
Which it didn't need to be.
No, it didn't. And the ESA shouldn't have allowed it.
That was the failure.
So...
The whole thing is that I think if we open this up to some of the public, right, then this is going to put more money in our pockets with losing sight of what the purpose of the show is for. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, when I was going, it was under the DDR Freak umbrella, but I also took the opportunities to try to network, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, this when I went to GDC, that's what I was doing, was networking with people.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say something I'm probably going to regret saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know me.
I'll go for it.
And I've also grown up, and my perspectives have changed over the last few years, and I reserve the right to change my opinions because sometimes I learn new things that change my opinions. And so what I'm going to say in the context of that is, number one, I don't think E3 should ever come back. We should have a trade show, yes. But I don't think it shouldn't be the ESA's thing, because the ESA is incompetent. But if...
Although the name is very clever, just saying E3, you know? I think they should keep the name and have someone else own it.
if E3 were to come back, I think it should go back to the airport years when it was very selective on who got in and very selective on what they were showing and how that all went down. Obviously, that needs to be tailored a little more. But that's what the show ought. Whatever succeeds E3 is probably going to look like. And I'm saying this because people need to get used to this. If they really truly want a trade show, it's going to look like those years that E3 was at the Long Beach Airport. Was that where it was? I think it was. And the hotels and all of that. And that was the year that only, what, like 2,000 to 3,000 people got in. I know, semantics. I know you're going to say they're under contract to the LA Convention Center. Blah, 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 blah. The ESA shouldn't have been doing it in the first place. Those contracts won't matter. I'm not even saying it needs to be in LA. I think you either go to...
Under a different name and the ESA isn't running it, then that contract doesn't apply.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what comes of the whole thing. Bobby is in chat saying, my favorite E3 was E3 2008, which was limited attendance like the airport years, but still at LA Convention Center. E3 2007 was the one in Santa Monica, but they ran a small E3 at the LA Convention Center, and that was better than the spread out stuff in the airport hangar. That sounds a lot like a logistic thing where, like, just being all spread out all over Long Beach was probably a pain in the butt. Having it all at the LA Convention Center was probably just a lot more convenient. And that's a logistics thing. And, you know, that's up to whatever E3 successor, if there is one, ends up being. So we'll see. Now,
honestly, the fall was really just getting rid of Kenshia Hall. I'm kidding.
I didn't even really get into the specifics of the story. The news broke from a tweet from Razer PR lead Will Powers, who said that they had sent out an email announcing the cancellation of a digital E3 event. Well, if you're going to have an E3 where you actually want to keep secrets that don't get out to the internet, now you know who not to invite. No, he didn't do anything wrong. But I was just thinking about how there are other trade shows, like the movie industry has a trade show where they show new movies to cinema or new trailers anyway, to cinema chain owners and people that own movie theaters. And those trailers don't leak out because there's still a lot of NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, that go in line with those. I'll be interested to see what sort of non-disclosure agreements whatever EA's successor gets into. There were always NDAs at E3, by the way. Just not the stuff that was out there on the show floor, but everything you were seeing upstairs in the conference room, I would say 90% of that was under non-disclosure agreements because they were showing things that weren't going to be announced for a little while. So
ends up in some of the rooms that would say no video, no photography. And then there would be some that would be like, you know, they would have specific material or copies of the demo to give out that didn't have like anything of worth on it, like more like a press kit on a CD in the later times.
Speaking of, by the way, I'm going back through the story and I'm looking at the guy's Twitter and it says in his bio he's a reality TV winner. Wasn't this the guy that won the tester? I'm almost positive it was.
What's his name?
Will Powers. Didn't he win like the first or second season of the tester?
That was like, Ego Raptor, but I don't
know. No, that guy didn't win. He was on it. No, sure, he did not win. Oh. No. Maybe. That's am I the only one that sees the humor in that?
I never watched
Let's
the tester.
Let's use our Google Foo. So this is the tester winner. That
was there only one? I think there's only one of those.
No, there's a few seasons cuz a gay guy won one of the seasons.
Oh, really?
And then
I wonder why it failed.
Cyrus on season 1.
Yeah, Bobby's saying Wiki doesn't even give their real names. I'm telling you, it's the guy that won the tester.
Season 2 was Gamer, G-A-Y-M-E-R.
Okay.
And season 3 was...
Mike Deft agrees
Achilles
with me.
Achilles Might.
Mike Deft agrees with me. Will Powers won season 1. Yes. Okay, and Bobby says, yes, Cyrus was Will Powers. Okay, thank you. All right. Now, I'm glad... I'm just surprised... That's not in the bio here on the news article.
Yep, that's it.
Okay. Oh, Mike Deft brought the receipts from a PlayStation blog. That's funny.
Yeah, I see that.
There's also an Engadget article.
Well, good for him. He's living out his dream being in the industry and providing breaking news. Good for him. I'm not being shady at all.
I'll never invite him back.
It was just one of those things where I was like, wait a minute. Why? I can't shake this feeling. All right. Anyway, the ESA did confirm in an official statement that E3 2022 is canceled. However, they say in the follow-up, E3 will return in 2023 with a reinvigorated showcase.
Sure.
So that's worth saying. So as much as I'm sitting here celebrating the death of E3, because I think that's a line, I don't think it is coming back in 2023,
just
but
wait.
We'll see. Yeah, no,
that means they haven't made a decision to cancel it for good. That's all.
Yeah. So, here's the entire statement from the ESA. E3 will return in 2023 with a reinvigorated showcase that celebrates new and exciting video games and industry innovations. We previously announced that E3 would not be held in person in 2022 due to the ongoing health risks that surrounding COVID-19.
Well, that's true.
Well, It's a cop out. It's a scapegoat. Like I'm not saying it's not true, but I'm saying compared to literally the rest of the world and how everything is functioning at other trade shows and so, and fact that like people are not canceling anything because of COVID anymore. And I just got back from Las Vegas where I was maybe in the 3% of people that were wearing masks in casinos. Like COVID-19 is a convenient excuse for the ESA. And I know that's not the PC thing to say, but it's absolutely correct. And I think COVID-19 was the convenient excuse for the ESA last year too. To be quite honest,
even should be a valid excuse. People aren't really treating it as one.
Correct.
It is, but they could take precautions and stuff. Especially that would be your perfect time to lower the attendance. Is to we'll have people in person, but we're only going to do a quarter of the attendees due to COVID or something, but they didn't even do that. They just said,
Loki,
nah, we're not doing it.
Fucking brilliant, Loki. Honestly, the best thing the ESA probably could have done was to have it anyway, vax and masks. And you know what? We're not going to have the consumers this year. We're going to cut all these people out because of COVID.
Your perfect scapegoat right there. You could just drop the attendance back to what it was.
That would have been the better scapegoat.
But that's not why. So, that's why they're, doing what they're doing.
Anyway, continuing with the statement. Today we announced there will also be no digital E3 showcase in 2022. See, COVID doesn't stop that.
So well, that's because of digital COVID. Haven't you heard? It's the new variant that goes over the internet.
Yes.
The computer will get COVID.
We can't expose our people to that.
Yes, the computer virus that exposes personal information. Yes.
And then the variant Corvid, where you poop crows.
The metaverse COVID.
Metavid.
Anyway. Metavid.
Instead, we will devote all our energy and resources to delivering a revitalized physical and digital E3 experience next summer. Whether enjoyed from the show floor or your favorite devices, the 2023 showcase will bring the community, media, and industry back together in an all-new format and interactive experience. Bullshit. And I'm going to tell you why it's bullshit. If the ESA wants me to believe that, because right now I don't, and I've given you a damn good list of reasons why I don't, they would have already said, who's on board with that 2023 vision? Who have you gotten to agree to this 2023 show? Who are your partners in this? You don't got any. You're trying to sell snake oil right now, ESA.
You're selling a
vision. Why don't you go to Kickstarter?
In the Phantom.
Wasn't the Phantom there one time? I swear to God,
yeah,
I played the Phantom.
It was. Yeah.
It was there.
I think we saw the Phantom. Yeah. It was real, sort of. All right.
For a minute.
The box.
I don't know
what was in the box.
We look forward to presenting E3 to fans around the world live from Los Angeles in 2023. That part they have to say because of the contract with the convention center. Look for more news and announcements soon. So that's the one thing you can count on. The ESA, if they don't end up just throwing it in the trash, they're going to have this convention at the LA Convention Center because they have to. So, I mean, that doesn't mean it won't be like one room. Not it might be the size of DragCon. It might just be one little hall, but it'll still happen at the LA Convention Center.
There's a line from MST3K that's popping through my head right now.
Mm-hmm.
Whoopty shit.
I just think what it is it's I think you have a lot of these companies, I would imagine, they're looking to cut costs. Throwing a big press event with booths and stuff like that doesn't really do much more than showcasing their footage and stuff in their own controlled environment where they have all the attention. Like, I just think it's like I can put on a presentation for a few $1,000s, or I could rent out a booth space for a few $1,000,000. What would I rather do? And then this way, you also don't have to like push your dev teams to put out demos and stuff like that to build a demo for E3. Like, it just makes more sense not to do it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to be said, though, about some of the elements of the trade show, like the networking and, you know, connecting and sharing ideas and so forth. But yeah, the industry has kind of gotten to this interesting place where they're putting so much of it just out on the internet at once. It's like there's no secrets in this industry anymore when it comes to working with other people. I don't know. It's weird. Anyway, one thing that a lot of people are turning to is Summer Game Fest. And so a lot of people are already declaring Summer Game Fest the new E3. It's way too early to be doing that because Summer Game Fest is not a trade show. Summer Game Fest is a summer version of the Game Awards that happened in December. That is what Summer Game Fest is thus far. Not word for word, not page for page, but it's they come from the same playbook. So Jeff Keighley did, conveniently timing, share some more information about Summer Game Fest. He said, yes, it's taking place this year. Yes, it's going to occur in June. Yes, there's going to be a live kickoff show at the start of the event. And the presentation will have new announcements and first looks at various gaming properties. The official website, of course, will have all the details in the coming weeks. Jeff Keighley also had a very interesting timed tweet with everything that was going on with E3. I got to pull it up now because, of course, I don't have it in front of me. But he said something very tongue-in-cheek, and he kind of had to go back and clarify it, that, like, I'm not trying to shade E3, but, like, the tweet read is, like, kind of shady. I wonder if he still has it up or if he ended up deleting it. Of course, I'm sure the chat is already on it, but I'm trying to bring it up for myself here. Let's see. March 31st. It was a day. Oh, he just tweeted a winky face. That's what a lot of people thought. That was a winky face emote was "you shady bitch," pretty much. I guess you can read a lot into a winky face emote. I don't know. But anyway, Summer Game Fest, it's coming back. We'll see how it goes and what they all have. But it's not a trade show. It's not. There might be a keynote that happens in person or something like that, but it's not going to be exactly the same thing as E3. It looks like the June gaming event season, which I don't even know if we call it E3 anymore. I don't think we should even be calling it E3 anymore. The June media season in gaming will probably be a Nintendo Direct. Or that's also another interesting question to ask. Nintendo is off the hook to do an E3 Direct. Will they still do one in June? I don't see why they wouldn't. But if Nintendo decided to do a Summer Direct in July, y'all can't say shit because there's no E3 to time it with. So I wonder if that might get delayed. We'll see. I just wonder if we're still going to see game companies kind of coalesce around doing announcements in June, or if it's just going to be all over the place. Tiger Claw in chat says they'll probably do a direct, but not call it E3 or something. Did they call it E3 last year? I don't remember if they did. Pele Hanumeo said, Bobby Blackwell says they did not. Thank you. Pele Hanumeo says, just like tech killed newspapers, E3 is a victim of changing media habits and tech. That's why the fan-centric cons will still flourish. Oh, absolutely. This has nothing to do with fan cons. And ironically, the consumer expos, this has nothing to do with them. And this, that you're right, they will continue to flourish as people are feeling the pain of the last 2 years. And even if it's probably not the best idea to be going out and doing these things, people are going to go out and do these things. We can at least hope conventions will be smart and at least have precautions, because precautions, you know, and Bobby said this earlier, there is no convention that has been declared a super spreader, or no gaming convention I know of that's been declared a super spreader event yet, because they're all mandating precautions. Everyone I've been to is mask and vax or negative test in 48 hours or whatever it is, whatever it was for Dragon Con. And following those precautions go an awful long way in stopping super spreader types of things. So, interesting. Bobby Blackwell says, I just checked a super spreader database. Not a single convention was on the list as a super spreader event. Lots of weddings and nursing homes, though. I thought early on in the pandemic, there was ironically a science convention that was one of the first super spreader events. So, and that obviously nobody knew anything then, so I'm not saying it's a fault of that convention, but I worry about that database you're looking at, because if it doesn't list that one, a biotech or something like that was one of the early conventions in the science industry that had it. So, Mike Def says, I went to a convention yesterday and most people were masked, even if it was an outside event. SSU 100 Matt says the Sturgis Bike Festival was a super spreader event. Well, the people there simply did not believe in COVID, and that wasn't a convention. That was a festival. Semantics, I know, but it would fall in a different category. So isn't that the one that Smash Mouth played and gotten a lot of shit for? I think it was. Anyway,
I think
it was. Because I remember the parodies that were like, hey, now you've got COVID, get your cough on. Hey, now. All right. Anyway, we shouldn't joke about it, but I do. I have to tell jokes when people
you
are.
You have to have that gallows humor.
When people are willfully ignorant about it, I have to joke about that. So please understand the difference. All right. Anyhow, so E3 canceled, back next year. Summer Game Fest still happening, although we don't know the specifics of what that looked like, but it will be interesting to see if Jeff Keighley tries to corral the horses, because he does have a good relationship with Nintendo. He does have a good relationship with a lot of partners. It will be interesting to see if he does corral the horses to get everybody to still make their announcements around that same time. I just think what Jeff Keighley needs to do, don't have Summer Game Fest as a 3-month event. That was silly. That lowers the impact of it. You need to corral that to 2 weeks tops. I mean, if people want to do announcements outside of that, fine, but that's not Summer's Game Fest. So just something I think Jeff needs to work on in that whole regard is Summer Game Fest is not a 3-month event. Give me a break. That's just summer in the games industry. So, yeah, Dr. Tsuya says, I mean, if he can do it for the Game Awards and he has no competition this year, this is the year to do it. This is the if Jeff wants to attack the ESA's weak point for massive damage, and considering he backed out of E3 before it was officially gone, he may have a bone to pick with them, allegedly. I don't know anything, but there are interesting signs that line up that show that Jeff Keighley may have a little bit of personal interest in attacking the weak point of E3 for massive damage here. I don't know, but
That's why we're here to announce Keighley 3 coming soon this summer.
I don't know about y'all, but spite is a big motivator for me. And if I'm Jeff Keighley and I may or may not allegedly have some spite in my back pocket, let that do the motivating. Godspeed, Jeff Keighley, our Canadian friend. All right.
By the way, Rob,
hmm.
I think I found my E3 2006 photos.
I have one of those too. There's one of you and I sitting on the ground in the media room somewhere that keeps popping up in
Facebook
memories.
Found that one, but these are, hold on, let me double check. They need to be super rotated. I don't know how they got this way. Okay, never mind. That's the Winchester Mystery House.
Nope.
But I have a couple.
You should
like,
put them in
so because it was in
Discord.
May.
Put them in the Vogue Discord
that year.
Yeah.
So I'll have to see if I can find them. They got to be spread out amongst these, but I did find the one of you and me.
VogueNetwork.com/Discord to...
You're so young.
See that? I know. What happened? All right. Enough about E3. Let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of things that we have been playing this week. So, Dark Sakura, I'll start with you. How was your gaming week?
It's been pretty eventful. I'm still playing through Seiken Densetsu 3, or as it was called, Trials of Mana. I'm also, of course, still doing Dead by Daylight, which I'm having a lot of fun with. I found a picture of Evan. I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm also still playing my silly little Wordscapes game, and I've been enjoying watching other people play Elden Ring so I don't have to. We also have the Indianapolis 500 pinball now, and there's been a little bit of play of that going on in my house.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Not too bad.
All right.
That's about it.
Loki, we'll go to you. How was your gaming week?
Well, I played Minecraft still, and I also did finally boot up my DDR machine to play that. Well, I was setting it up for the kids to play, and then they were doing something else, so I decided to play it a little bit. So I need to get back into that. At least it still works.
And that's it?
That's it. Yeah, you know. Minecraft and usually something else.
All right, no
worries. I found them. E3 2005.
Get it, put them in our Discord server or something. I bet folks would like to see that.
With the boomerang controller for the PS3.
Oh, God. That's a throwback. All right.
Get ready, Discord.
Maybe do like one or two a day this week. Don't throw 30 pictures in there at once.
I'll forget. All right. I'll just throw them all in there. I'll do a group of them.
Let's see. My gaming week. So I ended up not playing a lot this week because I've been in Vegas for the past few days. So we went to Las Vegas on Wednesday and just got back yesterday. We flew back Saturday because it was cheaper flights. But while we were in Vegas, we went to the Pinball Museum Hall of Fame. It's in a new place now than the last time I went. It used to be in that strip mall that was a little ways away from the strip. Now it is literally at the start of the strip. They moved it. It's right where the famous sign that says Welcome to Vegas is at the very start of the strip. Let me put it in perspective. In Pikmin, when I hit my little radar thing at the Pinball Hall of Fame, I got airport Pikmin because it's literally right there.
To be near the Liberace Museum, remember?
Where was the Liberace Museum? That was...
I don't remember. I just remember that we passed the Liberace Museum when Tiara took me.
I know that you can't miss this place because they've painted the word pinball in gigantic letters. And I think they did it because the airport is right there. You can see it as you're actually landing at the airport. Which is pretty funny, and that's a very funny way to advertise. They also have their own fancy new neon sign that looks like the Vegas sign. So they're making money or something, or got a good grant or something, because they've really upped the place. It's a much bigger space, and they have more stuff in there. They have a lot of broken stuff, but they had that before. I'm not really holding that against them because they have a lot of great working stuff. So I saw a crap ton of pinball tables. I more watched Alan play. I didn't play a lot myself. I played the Tron arcade machine they had there because I had to. I played a Nightmare on Elm Street pinball table, which I forgot existed, and I enjoyed it. So I was like, oh, this is fun. What's that?
Wasn't it a Gottlieb one?
I think it is a Gottlieb table, yeah. I have a picture of it somewhere because I put it on Instagram.
Yeah, the Gottlieb ones are hit and miss.
It was fun, but it's really easy. I don't know if it was tuned that way, but basically I won a free game and Alan won a free game. So it was very easy.
Nice.
I watched, this is the funny thing, and you'll get a kick out of this, Dark Soccer. I watched Alan drop like $4 into Elvira Scared Stiff. And I was like, why don't you just go to Dark Soccer's house? Or, well, I know you don't have it anymore.
We gave it back.
I know, but I was like, why didn't you just go over there and play it? But he was like, I'm here, and it's right in front of me, and damn it, I'm going to play it. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to tell you what to do. Like, I can play Tron and
emulator. I'm not faulting that.
Yeah, so, and I watched him play some other stuff, too. I watched him play that Circus Volitaire. It's a fun
Voltaire.
Machine. Voltaire, that's it. That's a fun machine. I'm trying to remember what else I played. Oh, Arabian Nights. I love that table. I have to play that.
That was also a Papa Duke table, the mm-hmm. guy who did theater and World Cup.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Bobby Blackwolf says the Liberace Museum was north and east of the airport. The Pinball Hall of Fame is on the western edge of the airport. It's right next door to the Harley Davidson thing. I do know that, too. I don't know. I don't know if that rings a bell at all. I don't know what it was before.
Kingdom Hearts.
Um,
sorry.
Oh, E3 pictures. Let's see. I'm trying to think of what other pinball tables I like play. They have a lot of old arcade machines too, which is cool. I just had a good time. So, and it's funny because somebody was asking me. So I missed a friend of mine that used to listen to this show. I don't know if he still does. Hi, you know who you are if you're listening. But he messaged me on Instagram and he's like, I'm going to Vegas this weekend. I'm like, great. When do you get here? He was like getting there like 2 hours after my flight took off on Saturday. I'm like, how convenient. So I was like, all right. Well, he said, where are the DDR machines? And I'm like, I have to be honest. I kind of stopped like scoping where DDR machines were a long time ago. I'm sure some of the casinos have them, but I don't really scope out the arcades, the casinos anymore. I said, but the Pinball Hall of Fame has a DDRX because I just saw that. So go there. And I just think the Pinball Hall of Fame is a good stop for any gamer. Even if you feel kind of meh on pinball, I would ask, A, why are you meh on pinball when you like other – I think pinball's great, but whatever. And they have a good collection of retro arcade games too. And they have like weird shit that used to be in 70s and 80s arcades. Do you remember that machine that would make wax Donald Duck figures? I think I made one with Melody when I went there with her. There was one, maybe Dark Sakura saw it when she was there. I don't know. But they have one for Pluto now next to it. And I was like, wow, that's a blast from the past. So there's that. And Pod Culture in chat is bringing up, Rob teased me by messaging me a pic of the Doctor Who pinball table. Yes, I did. I did. I wanted to play the Rush pinball table, but some guy was on it like nonstop. Because I know it's the hot new shit. Somebody was on it nonstop. So I was like, all right, I'll just play it when I visit Bobby Black Wolf later this year for Dragon Con 2022. So we'll see. So Dark Tosia says, I did play the Tron pinball when I was there. I did not see the Tron pinball, or I would have played that
pinball
too.
Good.
Yeah, the pinball is good. I love what they did with the ramps in that game. But yeah, I didn't see
if you've
it.
You've got the deluxe, that is, yeah.
It might have been out of commission. And that's why I didn't notice it. They did have a lot of pinball games that were out of commission. So we'll see. Anyway, so yeah, the bulk of my gaming week was being in Vegas. I'm going to say off topic. I just have to say I saw two shows while I was in Vegas. I saw Drag Race live. And all I'm going to say about it, it wasn't that good. Like it was, I felt like it was false advertising too. Of the eight girls on the poster, two of them were in the show I saw that night. And then they had, I think, understudies because it was Alexis Mateo and Kahana Montrese, which both are great. Don't get me wrong. But it was a little like, oh, I thought we were going to be seeing these other girls. And all right. OK. I mean, but the whole thing is super cheesy. Anyway, I know some of you roll your eyes in the back of your head when I talk about Drag Race. That's all I'll say about it. It was silly. I think I would have probably had a better time if I went to the real drag show they have at Senor Frogs. I should have done that. But the other show I went and saw Dionne Warwick on Thursday night. Now, y'all know, Friends are for? Yeah, exactly. I hope y'all know Dionne Warwick. That's what Friends are for.
And Psychic.
Alfie, Do You Know the Way to San Jose? Her Psychic Friends commercials back in the day. Or the fact that she's the queen of Twitter now. She has a great Twitter account. And she was a Vegas legend for many years. And she ran in the same circles with many of those Vegas legends you hear a lot about. This place that I saw her at, I had no idea where this place was when I bought the tickets. They were expensive, but they weren't that expensive because we did get the cheap seats. But that room was maybe 250 people tops. The Lyft driver gets to the venue. There's a security guard at the gate who says, what are you here for? And I'm like, is the Dionne Warwick concert here? And they're like, yep, go on in. It's like, I had to know the password to get into this place. And then like the place was just itty bitty. It was like seeing it in a wedding hall or a wedding reception room. That's basically where I saw Dionne Warwick. I haven't been to a concert that small since I saw Alanis Morissette perform at a library in Big Sur. Oh. So that right there was a pleasure, a treat, a once in a lifetime experience, because Dionne Warwick is a living legend. If you don't know her, Google her, look her up, educate yourself, because she's fabulous. And the fact that I got to see her in such a small venue, I'm like, well, oh, and by the way, Alan and I, by far the youngest people in that room, by far the youngest people in that room. The other people sitting at the table with us, the lady was super nice. She was like, yeah, I just retired. I worked at the Vegas Convention Center and I just retired. And let me tell you about all these things in Vegas. Da, 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 da. She enjoyed hearing our story. She was just a spunky older. I'm not going to say old lady, older lady, lady in her prime.
Three.
Yeah. So, and yes, Mish also brings up, for those that don't know, she's Whitney Houston's cousin. Yes, she's related to Whitney Houston as well. I think Dionne Warwick is a legend in her own right, but of course, we love legends related to legends, of course. So anyway, the whole thing was absolutely worth it for the Dionne Warwick show, 100%. And if you're going to be in Vegas when she's performing, I urge you to do it. But you might want to dress nicer than Alan and I did. Because the Vegas thing said it was casual, and I wore like a nice little polo shirt and some jeans. So it was like what I might wear to work, but I get there and people are like full on in suits and ties. Like
boomer casual.
Yeah. You have to go boomer casual. Anyway, no regrets. I had a great time at the show.
Just like you're going on a Pan Am flight.
Tiger Claw says, I get it. I get back in the day when people used to dress up to fly. Tiger Claw says, sounds like the place was filled with old people who grew up on Dionne Warwick. That part. Or people who knew people who were old and grew up on Dionne Warwick. So they heard a lot of it in, you know, so that's where I come in, I think. And I just, you know, there's certain
pictures of Rob and Matt.
When you're gay, there are certain divas you're going to hear about, and Dionne Warwick's one of them. She might not be the one you hear about the most, but she's definitely one you're going to hear about. So anyway, sorry to delve into non-gaming stuff, but I had to get that off my chest because, again, that was a once-in-a-lifetime show, and I was just very giddy to get to do that. So there's that. So, all right, let's get back into video games and some actual headlines and stories.
Hey, Rob.
What?
I found pictures of you and Matt.
I'm sure there's a lot of pictures of me and Matt. If you just hit print screen, you'll get one right now.
When we recorded our podcast for at E3 2005.
Oh, we didn't really do it at E3. Oh, no, did we?
We did it in the hotel room.
Oh, yeah, in the hotel room. We did. Yeah. I would say we might have done one in the media room. But yeah, it was you know what? Does that make us the first podcast to be done at E3? Maybe not. I don't want to stake a claim that's too big.
Probably.
The first podcast that's still around, probably. I don't know.
We're stubborn that way.
Well, keep in mind, most shows didn't start until June 2006 when podcasting hit iTunes. So if we did a podcast about video games in 2005.
Yeah.
So anyway. Oh, Bobby says, June 2005. I always get the year wrong. All right, then if it was 2005, never mind. If it was 2004.
Yeah, well, I found 2006's pictures just now. Actually, I take it back. That's California Extreme.
All right.
Nope, it is. Nope, it's E3.
All right, Jamie, you got to stop yelling about the random pictures. Just post them in the Discord.
I'm sorry.
Let's get back to the news. All right. Loki, kick us off with some news.
So, yeah, we got some good news about Activision. The good news is we're not talking about their sexual exploitation of their employees. No, this time we're talking about
their... Oh, I missed that headline. We probably should mention that, actually, is that there's that settlement, right?
Yes.
So...
they settled. Anyways.
Undisclosed.
$18 million, I think. A drop in the bucket for Bobby Kotick's salary last year. It's
disgusting.
I think
he makes that in a few minutes, yeah. So apparently they put out a memo to their employees, letting them know that, effective immediately, they are removing the company's vaccine mandate, meaning whether or not you are, vaccinated against COVID-19, you can go ahead and come back in. And because of that, there's already been a new, walkout scheduled for April 4th in response to the office plan.
Good for
them. According to the ABK Workers Alliance.
Good for them. That needs to happen more often where they start sticking it loudly to their bosses. I do think there is a sort of a footnote with this, though, that I want to make sure is clear, because I believe studios within Activision, Blizzard being one of them, are allowed to dictate their own terms on the vaccine thing, because I have seen that Blizzard specifically is not waiving that. So even though an Activision senior put that out there, probably for those under the Activision umbrella, the sub studios do get to make their own call on that. So I think it is an important clarification. So because that means that like Blizzard would have no reason to participate in this walkout unless there's other things going on that are not a part of this report that the walkout is going to cover.
Yeah, they're trying to get everybody back in the office, and then they say we'll pivot if necessary if we see a spike in cases. Well, it's too late at that point,
right?
But we're seeing this everywhere. This goes back to what I said earlier about E3 using COVID-19 as an excuse. Like literally this is an even better example of the industry going, never mind, COVID-19 is in the past. We beat it. We did it.
Mission accomplished
on the big banner. Yep, mission accomplished. I laugh because I don't know what other emotion to have. But yeah, so good to the employees, though, for holding out for what they believe in with all that. But this is something that's happening in a lot of workplaces. You know, I'm very thankful in my day job. They are taking it very slowly. They're like dipping their toe in the water with this whole thing. And they've pretty much said, at least where I'm at, that telework can be a permanent option outside of necessary meetings and trainings that will be in person. But we don't even know what those look like yet or when those start. So, but there's a lot of workplaces, I'm sure a lot of people in chat with stories to share where they're like, nope, we're all coming back to the office at least a couple times a week. So mission accomplished.
Yeah, we did it. It's over.
We just have to cross our fingers and toes that as the virus continues to mutate, it mutates downwards. That's ironically, I just got back from Vegas, so maybe my perspective is that is we're taking that gamble. We're going to let it ride that COVID keeps mutating in a downward direction where it might be more transmissible, but it's less effective. So let's just hope, you know, whatever's after Omicron keeps going that way.
Letting it ride is quite a Vegas take on that.
Mm-hmm. SG100 Matt says, a lot of companies are pushing to get folks back in, so this is a trend. My company is pushing folks back in, at least a hybrid setup. It's interesting because there's a lot of talk about, like I know here where we live in Sacramento, which by the way, our city in the news today, I need to mention this.
Disgusting.
Not for a great reason. The latest shooting of the week club. I guess there's another sign that COVID-19 is apparently a thing of the past because now we're getting back to, you know, our every other day mass shooting in America headlines. Yeah. So unfortunately, one happened in Sacramento last night. Obviously, none of us were there or even remotely involved with it. Nobody I know, and I don't think anybody we know was involved with it. However, somebody knows, six of them were involved with it and lost their life last night. And it sucks. And I sit here and I go, when are we going to do something about it? But I already know the answer is never. And I just always repeatedly think of that Onion headline. There is no possible way to stop this from happening, says country where this only thing routinely happens. Whatever, I totally butchered it, but you know what I'm talking about. That Onion article always goes around when these things happen. So anyway, so what was I saying about Sacramento? I forget. Oh, yes. Downtown, like they're actually trying to push people to go back in the office because the businesses downtown are all hurting because everybody's working from home and the real estate's drying up and all that. So it's very interesting to watch to see how this goes.
I feel so bad.
And know what
the
carbon impact
investors.
Has been like.
I'd be curious on that too, what that's looked like.
Those poor real estate investors, I swear to God. I feel poor so them. Bad for them.
Those poor billionaire towers. Those poor things. Anyway. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about something from last week. Again, I don't love to talk about rumors here on Orange Lounge Radio, but some of them have a bit more smoke than others where it indicates there is fire. And sure enough, when we started last week's show, we talked about the PlayStation Plus rumors. What happened this week? It got confirmed. PlayStation is sort of taking on Game Pass, and a lot of it played out exactly how it was leaked. In a note,
and ironically, yeah, it's ironically like how we kind of predicted too, that they would steal ideas.
Sort of, yeah. So SIE President Jim Ryan on the PlayStation blog said, "Today, we are pleased to share with you official news about changes coming to our subscription services." I love that. Official news about the change. The way that's phrased is actually kind of great. "This June, we're bringing together PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now in an all-new PlayStation Plus subscription service that provides more choice to customers across three membership tiers globally." So there's PlayStation Plus Essential, what you have today. $9.99 a month or $60 a year. Online multiplayer, 2 free games a month, exclusive discounts,
wow,
and cloud storage.
Woo.
Yeah, they did slightly cut that corner, didn't they? But I think haven't they been on 2 or were they on 3?
I don't know. It's pitiful.
Well, to be fair, a lot of the games that they've offered have been kind of silly anyway. Like what was the one? It was the one that was a launch game for the PS5. Godfall, was that what it was called? And like they did
the demo, wasn't it?
Yeah, like it was like the demo enhanced or whatever was like the giveaway. So yeah. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says 2 PS4, 1 PS5. So yes, it's at 3 now. But you know, 3 games in concept. Now there's PlayStation Plus Extra. It's a little extra. It's going to cost you $14.99 a month or $99 a year. What does that $5 a month get you? An extra 400 of the most enjoyable PS4 and PS5 games, including blockbuster hits from the PlayStation Studios catalog and third-party partners. Games in the extra tier are downloadable for play. So it's kind of like, in that regard, it's kind of like Game Pass. You don't stream them. You download them and play them. It also sounds a little bit like that PlayStation 5 library of PlayStation 4 games that they had at the launch, which I would assume still have, actually. So I still don't own a PS5. I couldn't tell you. And there's going to be PlayStation Plus Premium, $17.99 a month or $120 a year, twice the price of PlayStation Plus Premium. All the benefits from Essential and Extra with another 340 games, which includes PS3 games that are available via cloud streaming and a catalog of beloved classic games available both streaming and download options for the original PlayStation, PS2, and here's the surprise, PSP generations. That one was not in the leaks that PSP would be included in this. No word about Vita, but we all know how Sony treats the Vita.
They're like, what? We never had a console named the Vita.
Now, it is mentioned this offers cloud streaming access for original PlayStation, PS2, PSP, and PS4 games in extra and premium tier markets where PlayStation Now is currently available. Because in select markets, there isn't cloud streaming, so you get something called PlayStation Plus Deluxe, which is a little lower than premium, but you still get the downloadable PlayStation, PlayStation 2, and PSP games for play. So there it is. It's basically a monthly fee to access retro games in a catalog. I really wish Sony had gone the full Microsoft route and allowed you to play games that you still own on disc, because many of us do, for free. Because now this really shows there is no fucking reason you can't play your PlayStation and PlayStation 2 games, at least, on your PlayStation 5.
Well, I thought there was a reason, like the drive doesn't work with those discs. Okay, let's just say that that's the case. There's so many games I own on the PlayStation 3, for example, and it sucks that I can't play those digitally. I own them. And same with the PSP.
Let me have Dark Soccer do her story, because it's really a yin and yang with this story here, and I want to make sure we cover both before we open it up to the viewer comments. So, Dark Soccer.
Yeah, so it looks like that... the rumor going on right now about the whole cloud thing has to do with PS3 emulation and how difficult it is with the cell processor. Although the rumor out there is that they are still working on that emulation, that it's just what's, you know, been the more difficult thing to get across. there is there's another statement on here that saying that with what they were missing from that announcement was addressing the issue of how they were going to emulate it and why they were only going to leave PS3 stuff as cloud-based. But again, that's the rumor that it may have to do with the cell processor.
I'm getting to some comments in chat now. DJ Rama S says, so the top tier to get access to PS1, 2, and PSP games in a possible download stream format, even though you may have these games anyway, that is a crock of shit. That's from DJ Rama S in our chat room. Mishkins in our chat says, yeah, nah, I'm not even going to bother. LOL, I'll stay with what I have already. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, the thing to realize about a company doing an emulation versus a group like RPCS3 or whatever is that one is called, we have a viewer who works in that team, is that a company needs to also support it with customer service reps. An independent emulator team can say, use at your own risk. Sure. So, but the independent emulator team has shown that it's possible. Although I'm well aware that the RPCS3 doesn't run everything. I think there's a chart and it runs like 60%-ish. Sorry if I got the number wrong. 60%-ish of games start to finish. And then there's others that it runs with issues. And I imagine it probably has to do with that cell processor. Because let's be real. There's a lot of PlayStation 3 games that probably don't use many features that are... Because there was so much that was ported between the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. There's probably a lot of stuff that barely touches like some of the more advanced processing features of the PlayStation 3. And probably it's the Sony first-party games that obviously tie into that a little more. And that's the stuff that Sony most wants and needs to get working on an official emulator for them to want to release something like that. And that I do understand. And I didn't look at the list of compatibility and specifically like where does God of War and like the Sony exclusives, where do they all fit in the compatibility meter? Because I would imagine it's the problem is that the Sony games are probably the hardest to emulate. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But that's what's probably the hang up right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not mad about the cloud streaming. And granted, maybe my perspective has completely changed because I don't have a bandwidth cap anymore. I'm fully willing to say that. However, I do think it's kind of shit that if I still have PlayStation 3, 2, and 1 discs, they do nothing for me at this point if I don't still have working consoles that are 3, 2, or 1. That I ought to be able to put those discs in my PlayStation 5 and get the digital assets for it, just like I do on Xbox.
I do want to know, though, how are they emulating it on the cloud unless they have some sort of... I'm just trying to think of how they're pulling it off through something cloud-based.
It's running on like a PS3 farm type of thing.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was hardware. Thinking too, yeah. But... It's still just like, if they're going to go that far, why not just put more of the effort into improving their emulation, like creating like a virtual processor?
And remember this, and I think
it's the same.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I was just saying it's probably the same reason that they're not emulating that like Planet Harrier still has trouble being emulated.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, and I fully own the comments I've made before about I do believe the PS3 ought to be emulatable on a PlayStation 5 because they're able to emulate it on computers, you know, and all the progress that the independent teams have made. However, I do understand that the PS3 was incredibly fucking advanced for its time. Incredibly advanced for its time. Don't forget, the U.S. military was getting PlayStation 3s to use that other OS feature to make those PlayStations do other things because of the value
like the
that
networked
you were getting
for Linux the price. Systems.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why it was such a big fucking deal when Sony took that other OS thing out. So I do understand. Yes, the PlayStation 3 was a lot more advanced at the time than I think people remember. So anyway. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, would anyone here be interested in a PS5 complete that has the PS3 cell processor inside the PS5? That way they're no longer emulating. They are just running the hardware. Yes, I would love that. I don't have a PS5 yet. If they were to do a hardware refresh later this year and they're going to do that, and if it will run my old PS3 discs and my old PS2 discs and one discs, fuck yeah, I want that machine. That's the machine I wanted kind of from the beginning, but okay, maybe, you know, but now that it's been a couple years and chips have probably come down in price and so forth, yeah, I would actually love that machine. And even if it's the same price a PS5 is today, I would pay it. An all-in-one PlayStation, it's worth it. SG100 Matt says, I would camp out for that machine. Same. I would be glad I waited. So, we'll
It'd
see.
It'd be like the instead of just the station, it would be like the Play Universe or something.
Mm-hmm. Or just, yeah, like the PlayStation without a number. I don't know. That might be a little silly. But I just, the PlayStation All, I don't know. I would love that. I really, really would. But I think the hardware refresh we're going to get is going to be centered around the VR2 because I don't see why that is not Sony's big push this holiday is that new VR2. We've already seen them sowing the seeds for that, and I think we'll get that confirmed in June. So with whatever media event ends up happening. So, Sia Tabiri says the PlayStation Hub. Hey, bonus if it has a PlayStation TV inside of it too, so my Vita games can get some love. Absolutely.
What's a Vita?
Like the stuff that you like take in the morning to make yourself healthier. That's a Vita Min.
All right, let's move on. In other news, oh yeah, April Fool's Day was this week, right, everyone? And there was
no, I skipped that day. Sorry.
Well, there was. I know we've all had our fill with April Fool's Day, and there's a lot of people that don't like. There's certain things on April Fool's Day that aren't funny, and I don't need to retread all that ground here, but there's a lot of things that aren't funny. And a lot of companies get in on it, and they're also not funny. But some companies do it, and it's kind of cute. Like, it's kind of cute. And I go, okay, if we had cute shit today, this day wouldn't bother me so much. Such as the...
That Dead by Daylight one was pretty good.
That Dead by Daylight one that had The Walking Dead coming to it or whatever. The Frasier pinball table was fucking funny. Like, that was good. That was really good.
That's awesome.
And then, Loki, I know you have two stories here. Can you read the one about Twitch's April Fool's Day? Because I actually thought this was one of the better pranks.
Yeah, see, that's the thing with April Fool's stuff. Like, I hate when they have, like, April Fool's pranks. They're like, well, I wish that some of that was true, you know? So they had this kind of these different channels that they introduced. So, like, for example, one of them was Pizza Time. It's everything about pizza, eating pizza, talking about pizza, cooking pizza, all that stuff. Silent reading, where you just watch people, I guess, read.
I heard one girl had, like, 3,000 viewers in that category. But it's funny. If I had been home and not in Vegas, I would have totally done a Bible reading stream where I was reading the Bible for y'all.
character creator. Where you would, you know, spend hours making a character and a character creator.
Honestly, anyway. Shane would be a streamer if that was a real category. Dark Sakura would have those streams every week, I would like to think.
Like, I'll pick a game and make a character and never play the game.
Chores, odd jobs, and errands. So it's you cleaning your house, I guess, or mm-hmm. doing mundane tasks. Mm-hmm. They had one that was called literally just chatting. There's no cameras, no mics, no stream. It's just a chat room.
That's great.
Well, hi, AOL.
I kind of wish some of these would stay around, but I get that it's silly and maybe not the stuff that Twitch releases.
Pizza time.
I think character creator should stay. I really do. I think that one ought to stay. But whatever. Sia Tabiri in chat says, one of the movie reviewers I follow did a comparison between the book that inspired The Room. I don't know if that's about the book reading category or just a different comment, but I thought that was about the book reading category. So there's that. Anyway, I thought that was all very funny. I'm kind of sad I missed that, to be honest. So that's the cute sort of April Fool's Day prank. And you know, as far as gaming goes, never forget the game that probably has transformed the gaming industry more than anything else in the past 10 years started as an April Fool's Day prank. Pokemon Go.
Goat Simulator.
My friend.
Pokemon Go started as a Google Maps April Fool's Day joke. Don't forget.
Well,
what did they do for, I didn't see what Google Maps did. Did they do anything?
Oh, I didn't see what Google did this year. No, I mean, I was kind of busy.
Well, actually, my favorite dating sim started off as a joke, but I don't think it was an April Fool's joke.
Now, that'd be funny. Is a dating sim baked in the Google Maps?
Oh, Sia Tabiri says it was an April Fool's prank he was describing overall. I get it. Oh. So, very nice. All right. Anyway, what else was going on Twitch, Loki?
Well, apparently Twitch had the pause their boost feature. Because it allows you to boost certain streams. I think you have to pay for that to promote them. And porn ended up there on the front page. Whoops. So they had to stop doing that.
Whoops. Porn shouldn't be on Twitch anyway, so even if it got boosted, like, I know it doesn't look great for Twitch, but, like, shouldn't they be kind of screening that out? It shouldn't even be on the platform anyway? Like, is this really going to stop
that?
Yeah,
but how's that, like, I don't know. It's probably a lot of these unknown streams, like, they create a brand new account and just post porn on there. And then boost the channel to be like, haha, it's on the front page. Hmm. I don't know what it takes. Like, if you have the pay for boost and then you also have to have, like, so many viewers. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, in the screenshot here, let's see. How many people did they have watching? Several thousand. Let's see here. I can't see. It does not say what it is. And they put, you know, obviously that the game that they're playing is like Grand Theft Auto 5 or something. So.
Interesting. They're just going to need to screen the people that they allow to boost a little more carefully. Like somebody at Twitch, I know it's a big job, but somebody at Twitch ought to be watching any stream at least for a little bit before it becomes an affiliate. And then only allow the affiliate stuff to get boosted. Like that's really how it should go. I don't know. But I mean, it's not going
to
stop everything, but it'll stop a good chunk of it.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's a terrible idea anyway, period.
All right. By the way, I texted Shane a question just to follow up on the. I said, I need to know for OLR, if Twitch's April Fool's Day character creator category was real, would you be a full-time streamer? And the answer is yes. I have enough games with character creators that I could easily make it a full-time job. No, and nobody was surprised. Nobody was surprised. I think There's they
no
should
hesitation.
Keep it. I think they should keep it. All right. Anyway, let's move on to our next story. Who's on this? Oh, I think it's me. And I think this is a very interesting story as well. This has to do with Bungie and going after a group that their day needs to fucking come already. And I'm talking about copyright trolls on YouTube. We all know YouTube's copyright claim system gets inundated with bogus takedown requests. And we know the worst part about YouTube, a platform I've been critical of on this program. That doesn't mean I won't use it or that I haven't even posted content on there or won't ever in the future. But I'm allowed to say this is the worst part of YouTube is that YouTube errs against the creators. Always. Because they allow these bogus takedown requests to go through, and then the creator has to appeal it every time. Well, maybe finally some comeuppance is going to come for these copyright trolls, and it's thanks to Bungie. The game studio sued 10 anonymous people for allegedly leveling false DMCA claims against Destiny 2 creators on YouTube, even Bungie itself. There is a hole in YouTube's DMA security, according to the company, that let anyone claim to represent a rights holder, letting any person anywhere abuse the system to suit their own ends. Apparently, there was a Gmail account created in mid-March that was supposed to mimic the developer's copyright partner, CSC. They then issued DMCA takedown notices, falsely claiming to represent Bungie, trying to fool creators with another account that insisted the first one was fraudulent. So YouTube didn't bother to investigate at all and slapped producers with copyright strikes, and people had to remove videos. Now, YouTube has corrected the error since, but let's be real. This is only because Bungie got involved and made a phone call.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They, thankfully, since YouTube and Google are affiliated, they were also able to suspend those Gmail accounts. So not very bright on the part of the YouTube trolls. But Bungie called it a circular loop of support. Oh, yeah, this is crazy, too. Google said they had the global finance director email key personnel, and Google still would not share info to identify the fraudsters. So Bungie did a DMCA subpoena to help identify the attackers and punish them. Damages up to $150,000 for every false takedown notice. So yeah. YouTube, in a comment, said, "We take abuse of our copyright takedown process seriously and terminate." And terminate tens of thousands of accounts every year for violating our policies, which prohibit submitting false information in a takedown request. We'll continue our work to prevent abuse of our systems, and we're committed to taking appropriate action against those who knowingly misuse our tools. Then reveal her, expose her, drag her, YouTube. Tell Bungie who it is. Give them everything they need to know. Without having to go through the courts and mess up that system. I, for one, am glad that Bungie is putting their foot down on behalf of their content. This is big ups on Bungie, because they are sticking up for their content creators who have stuck by them covering Destiny 2 this whole time. So let's give kudos to Bungie, because they're pouring money into their legal team to make this happen. And maybe change will finally happen because of what Bungie is doing. So I can't wait to see these YouTube copyright trolls get their comeuppance. Then again, I thought the Twitch hate raiders were supposed to get their comeuppance, and I haven't heard anything following on that. But I suppose
now they're just posting porn to the front page now with Boost.
Yeah, well, honestly, I will take that any day of the week versus the hate raids. Give me porn, honestly. Porn all day, every day versus the hate raids. So. All right. By the way, going back to the earlier story, but an important footnote, Bobby Blackwolf in our chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork points out Google declined to participate in April Fool's 2022. That's interesting. They usually go all out. I wonder if they were worried the current state of the world and, you know, everything going on with Ukraine and COVID and stuff. Maybe they just decided it wasn't in good taste this year. I don't know. It's interesting. Tiger Claw in chat says, "I wish YouTube did something about people posting spoilers on the recommend section." Oh, is that a thing? Of course it's a thing. Why am I sitting here asking? That's a of course it's a fucking thing. I also don't follow a lot of movies, and I don't watch a lot of YouTubes about movie culture and that, so I've just never fallen in that trap, but that doesn't surprise me, sadly. Yikes on bikes. Mike Def says that's more on the creators. It is, but that doesn't mean that action shouldn't be taken against them for not using spoiler tags. Like, there should be spoiler tags that then prevent your video from being advertised in certain ways. So, but yeah, I bet some not
that's how you tag your video.
It. Yeah. So, Tire Class says people on YouTube are posting spoilers from Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and the movie isn't out in the US yet because it came out in Europe. That's a slippery slope, though. So technically, the spoilers, they're in bad taste, but the movie is out in Europe. You know, the world doesn't revolve around the U.S. We like to think it does, but it doesn't. So, but there should be, if YouTube had a spoiler tag, which I thought it did, if YouTube had a spoiler tag and then those videos wouldn't show up in algorithms, that would be a good solution. Because people in Europe ought to be able to talk freely about it. I didn't know the movie came out. Why did I think that movie was still, like, months away?
It's next week.
I shows you how much I follow movies anymore. I do really want to see the Jamie Lee Curtis, Michelle Yeoh Everything Everywhere All at Once, I think it's called. I really want to see that. I haven't really wanted to see a movie in a very long time. I really want to see that because A, Michelle Yeoh is a goddess. B, Jamie Lee Curtis, also goddess. C.
And she was very nice in person.
I did not know that kid from the Goonies got back into acting, but apparently he's in that movie.
Which kid from the Goonies?
He was his name Data?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and
he played that character.
Yes, yes. So, and he's in that movie. And there was a whole piece I saw on Apple News or something about how he's come back to acting after like 40 years. And just the cinematography in that movie looks really good. So, oh, Tiger Claw says, Kay Hui Kwan. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. Thank you, DJ Rama S said the name there. Tiger Claw points out he was also Short Round in Temple of Doom. So,
true.
Yeah.
Very true. That.
Anyway, Dr. Jones.
Yeah, I think it's cool that he came back after all these years. But anyway, I really want to see that movie. So maybe I'll go to the movies next week. We'll see. I'd like to go.
I want to see that terrible Morbius movie just because I love bad movies.
I have not heard a good thing about that movie. Isn't Jared Leto in that movie?
And apparently he was the good part of it.
I cannot fucking stand it. And here's the ironic thing. It has nothing to do with all these stories about what a horror he is on set and all these things behind the scenes. I mean, not to discount any of that. I'm just saying I've never liked him as an actor, period. So I have no interest in that movie. But I am like you, Dark Sakura. When I hear a movie is a gigantic fucking train wreck of a film, it does make me a little more interested in it.
But it's not in a good way, though. It's just in a I don't think it's in like, it's so funny because they're trying to take themselves seriously, but it's awful. But like, it's more of just like, it's just awful.
SJ100 Matt in chat says, speaking of movies, so sad about Bruce Willis. Yes, it is. That is very, very
granted,
tragic.
Though. He's been doing all acting for a long time. I'd say he's had a pretty great career.
Yeah. There's a lot of films to go back and celebrate, but it's still hard when, you know, one of the all-time greats, you know, has to walk away not of their own decision, essentially.
Well, whether or not it's a great or anything, it's a hard illness to have.
Oh, sure, sure. I draw a lot of comparisons to Tim Curry in that regard.
Yeah.
You know, Tim Curry should have been able to make a lot more movies. Unfortunately, he had the stroke, and we all know he hasn't been the same since. It's a blessing that we've been able to see Tim Curry in limited capacity in things like animation. I know he did a cameo in that Rocky Horror remake, and that type of stuff, but I think we all know, and I hope that Bruce Willis will be able to still be able to show up here and there, but I imagine
he's already been doing that. He can't anymore. He's beyond being able to act anymore.
That's really
he's
sad.
Been doing a lot of like straight to Netflix type videos, and they've been all bad. And he's been and that was the thought. It's like he's got to have something, you know, up with him because they've been. You could see him with an earpiece that they're feeding him lines and stuff, and he's just not kind of there. And like that was kind of like, is he had dementia? You know, what's going on? And they were close. But yeah, he's done a lot of movies, like a lot of movies recently, which is probably just trying to get the money for his kids, which is noble by all means. But yeah, I think he's done. I think it's just time to retire.
Well, then be sure to buy The Fifth Element on Blu-ray and The Sixth Sense and all that stuff because that and get him those residual checks.
Those movies, by all means, support that stuff. Don't support the stuff that's on Netflix where it's just like clearly phoned in, they have body doubles and all sorts of craziness. Not that stuff.
And every Christmas watch Die Hard. All right, anyhow,
you know what I watch on Christmas though?
I watch Batman Returns. That is my favorite.
I watch Gremlins.
Okay, anyway, let's move on from Christmas to our next story, Dark Sakura.
Okay, so in other news, there is a rumor. I'm going to put this on the rumor mill, but they think that 8 Xbox Game Pass games have been leaked online. And so the list, I mean, it is It's all the same family of games except for one. It's Call of Duty, Black Ops, Cold War, Modern Warfare, Modern Warfare Remastered, Diablo 2 Resurrected, and then Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes, The Phantom Pain, and Metal Gear Survive. Which, I mean, none of those are really surprising. I mean, maybe the Konami ones are, but...
They're soon to be acquisition of Konami.
But at any rate, they're leaked for this month for April. So we'll see if it actually comes to pass.
The Call of Duty stuff, yeah, that makes sense because they own Activision, or they're going to be owning Activision.
Yeah, but the first half makes a lot of sense. And Diablo 2 Resurrected will make a lot of people happy, that's for sure. Including me-ish, although I still...
We know you like your Diablo.
I do, but you also know I have not had the Battle.net thing installed since a lot of this Bobby Kotick stuff, you know, it was still not... I did buy Diablo 2 Resurrected, but I got worse after that, and I haven't been able to play it in good faith. Now that Microsoft's in the picture, I don't know. Again, you kind of have to... There's bad and good in everything, I suppose. I don't know if I'll end up playing it or not. I probably will, because at least I see the finish line now. I see that there will come a day where Microsoft... Well, I guess legislators are trying to stop it. And, we didn't get to that. I think that was 2 weeks ago on the canceled show. But did you guys hear that stuff about how some of the senators, and I think Bernie was one of them, and some of the other senators came together to basically say they oppose the Microsoft Activision Blizzard thing? But it's not for the reason you'd think. It doesn't sound like it's for the reason that Microsoft would be too big a player. They're pissed off, basically, that Bobby Kotick's getting a payday, and that all these executives are getting a huge payday out of this, and they don't deserve it. I know that was a thing in the news recently. Yeah, and I'm like, okay, like, as much as I think I'm cool with Microsoft, because, like, Microsoft taking them over means the end of Bobby Kotick, and that part I support, I think the senators raise an excellent point. Why are they getting all this money? I think it made a lot of the rest of us feel dirty about this whole acquisition. So, fuck, if we get both sides of this, like, Microsoft can get them, and the senators are able to somehow cancel the payout. I don't even know if that can happen or if it would even work, but in my brain it's going to. That would be the best possible scenario.
That would be amazing.
That would be amazing. That would make me proud to be an American. For once.
At least we have something at that point.
Anyway. But yes, the Konami inclusions, I would say they are surprising, but at the same time, I also am not surprised. Okay, we all know Konami's business is in slot machines, pachinko, gambling, you know, machines in arcades and casinos.
Licensing
throughout the world.
The rights for their games for terrible sequels.
Yeah, as far as their video games go, it is about literally whoring them out on the corner for whoever's willing to turn tricks for them. And if that is putting them into classic game archives to release on consoles like the Castlevania Advance Collection, then so be it. If that is to whore a good Metal Gear Solid game and some bad ones for Microsoft Game Pass to get some checks there too, hey, great. Will I download Metal Gear Survive just because it's free and I can? And like I told Dark Soccer earlier and the rest of you, I will not only go see a movie because it's so bad, I will play a game because it's so bad. So I'm looking forward to playing Metal Gear Survive.
Because
it won't cost me anything.
I played that Avatar game that came out like an age ago. And I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Questbuster in chat does want to point out it's not just executive pay either with the senators versus Activision thing. They were concerned that the deal, quote, threatens worker-led demands for accountability. It's a valid concern. I think Microsoft has replied to that concern because they have explicitly said they do not intend to union bust or any of that. But I understand that's Microsoft, and that doesn't reflect what's actually happening at Activision now until the merger takes place. So I think that is a good conversation to be had. Yes. So. And Dark Tetsuya says, there is still that Turtles collection coming. yes, Konami hoard that out too. That doesn't make it bad. It doesn't mean it's bad. I'm just saying Konami is selling them on the street for money. And okay. But that is all Konami is interested in doing with their retro titles at this point. It's pretty clear. Anyhow. Let's move on. Who's got the next story? I think it's Loki.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk a little bit about some possible updates to Games Pass, because we talked a little bit how, you know, PlayStation Plus is changing and making you get into PlayStation Now, which I really hate. But Xbox is actually talking about getting a Games Pass or family plan option. So you won't have to purchase Game Pass for every single member of the family. You'll be able to actually convert it over. Now, I'm not sure they mentioned a cost on that, but I like the idea, especially, you know, allowing my kids to have, you know, access to a bunch of games. So, cool. I'd like to know what the price is, but I'm down.
Yeah.
And that would be for Game Pass Ultimate also, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would have a lot of use for this because it's really just me and Alan and I aren't going to share anything like that. So, but it's, you know, it's again just Microsoft trying to get even more people on this, especially in the face of Sony now trying to launch their own product. Although, and I can't believe we didn't mention this earlier, but there were a lot of things to get into with that topic. One thing Sony is missing from their product is day one releases. And we all know the executives at Sony do not agree that those should be a part of a subscription service.
They also want to charge $70 for them.
I think that decision is going to bite them a little bit, but it is what it is. So, all right. Anyway, before I get into the next story, I do want to acknowledge this. Questbuster in chat says, I miss the Konami that gave us things like Suikoden 2. I miss them too. I hope we have all acknowledged and made peace with the fact that that Konami is dead and gone. Literally gone. Those buildings closed. They're gone. So we all, that Konami is never coming back. Those people gone to new jobs. So I just as long as we all made peace with that.
And also to go back to like when we're talking about, you know, with the differences between Game Pass and Sony's PlayStation Plus stuff, you know, when they make a game backwards compatible on the Microsoft side, that's a backwards compatible game. If you own it digitally, it's in your library. If you own it physically, you can play it on the disc.
Mm-hmm.
Sony, you can play what we give you, or you can buy it. Like, that's messed up.
I agree. Important note on the Suikoden thing, though, which is a part of all, like, there isn't, like, because what? They released Suikoden 1 and 2 on the PlayStation 3. So if you had the original discs, they were collector's items, and then more people got to experience through the PlayStation 3, but you can't play those games right now on a PS4 or PS5. I would imagine those games are going to be a part of the library. I don't know anything yet, but I just said Konami's going to whore their stuff out on the corner for tricks. I don't see why Suikoden won't be there, which will be great news. And Sony knows that's one that's going to get people to pay for the library. But I did want to read this comment from Sacred Jade because I absolutely agree with it. A Suikoden compilation would be chef's kiss. Yes, that's a compilation Konami needs to make. Get on it. But they won't. Anyway. Bobby Blackwell says, Nintendo was the same with Virtual Console, and we all wish they brought back Virtual Console and got rid of NSOs. I think the problem there, it's not the system of delivery, but it's the fact that there are these gaps in NSO that Virtual Console is only highlighting. There are games that came out on Virtual Console that just Nintendo Switch Online doesn't see. You know, and they've been making progress to close the gap, like with the Mother 1 and 2 releases. But I feel like that's a big part of the problem, is that we know Nintendo has released stuff on those platforms that they can't get the third-party rights to anymore.
Like, I don't understand why they don't, like, they could literally do both. They could sell them Virtual Console and, like, you could make your money back. Like, what's a subscription to Game Pass Ultimate? What, $25? Like, or not Game Pass Ultimate. It was, whatever, the Nintendo's online expansion pass or whatever.
Expansion
so $25.
Mm-hmm.
on top of was it? So a total of like $40, whatever, a year. Like, there are people that will buy at least five games, and you're probably charging like at least $8 for those games. You would make probably more money than that because they want specific titles. They could also look at, hey, I don't want to buy these all individually. I want to just, you know, buy this pass. And that might make it more attractive one way or the other, because if you're selling games individually, you can go, look at how much value you're getting out of this, you know, subscription service instead. And it's win-win. You give player choice and you also make your package look more attractive. Like, I don't understand why they don't do it. Licensing, maybe, because you're licensing the rights for a subscription service versus individual sales. But I think that could be tweaked pretty easy. I don't know. I just think it's
dumb. I think we all know licensing is what's holding back Super Mario RPG. But the thing there is, I don't see why Nintendo and Square Enix can't sit down at the table and figure that out to get that game to come out. But maybe Square Enix wants to make it a standalone release so they can get more money off of it than just including it in the NSL library. I think that's what it boils
then
down
do
to.
Do that. Yeah. Make a remaster or something like that and just put it out in its own thing. Or, yeah. I don't know.
Also, the chat is pointing out, because I did bring up Suikoden, they did bring up Aiden Chronicles, which is still coming out. Yeah, I actually kickstarted that one, and I'm in the Discord server. I don't follow it a lot, but they're still on track to get that out, too. So Aiden Chronicles will be the spiritual successor to Suikoden in a lot of ways, and that'll be really exciting. So, all right, I want to get to one more story here before we get to the classic game of the week, although there's a little bit of a twist. I'll tell you about that in a moment. And that is about the game Loop Hero, which has been covered a lot lately. It's kind of a interesting little RPG that has a retro PC look to it. But it's actually made by a Russian developer. And at this point, with everything going on in the world, that Russian developer has said, just pirate it. This was from a post on the social media platform VK, which I think is pretty big in Russia. It's VK.com. I haven't used it myself, but I think it's... I always thought LiveJournal was the big thing in Russia because I know it took over, but that is another big social platform. LiveJournal. Yeah, in Russia. The developer of the game, Four Quarters, was addressing Russian fans who can't access Steam or Nintendo Switch because of all the sanctions going on. Nobody can buy the game because all the companies are sanctioning because of what's going on in Ukraine. And so Steam and Nintendo don't accept payments. And basically, nobody can get Loop Hero. So the developers are like, torrent it. Here is a link to RU Tracker, an official Russian torrent site, basically saying it is not known when all this will end. Therefore, in such difficult times, we can only help everyone to raise the pirate flag together with VPN and share the most popular distribution on the RU tracker. That is a translated by Google Translate of one of the tweets, if you will, on that platform. Fans of Loop Hero are asking, is there ways we can directly support or compensate the developers? And due to the state-owned bank sanctions in Russia, the game developers can't cash out their earnings. So Four Quarters said, we are very grateful for your support, but the truth is that everything is fine with us. Send this support to your families and friends at this difficult time. So as much as, you know, and when we've talked about what's going on with Ukraine and everything, that's why I'm very clear to point out this is Vladimir Putin's disgusting actions and war that's going on that he started. There's a lot of awesome people in Russia that want nothing to do with it. And it sounds like the makers of this game are a part of that bunch. I mean, that is a very big thing to basically walk away from the potential earnings of your game because of bigger things that are going on in the world, you know, and just say at this point, fuck it, pirate it. So props to the folks behind Loop Hero for that. So
there's a lot of good people who are suffering over this horrible person's the only thing I can call it is toxicity on a major level, because it's the type that it's like a humanitarian Chernobyl, if that makes sense, that so many people are hurt who had nothing to do with causing the incident. No one had anything to do with creating it, but it's spreading, it's destroying lives, and it's going to continue to hurt people for years after.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't have a clean way to make a transition here, but I am just going to...
What about fun stuff?
Yeah, we're just going to introduce our next segment here. Let me roll... Actually, thankfully, I have this little bumper that introduces it for me, so let's go to it.
And now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
But in a 2022 twist, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault and finds a handheld, electronic handheld, to spotlight as the classic handheld of the month. So, Dark Sakura, you picked a pretty obscure one this week. So, why don't you tell us about
it? But it's one of my favorites, why I picked it. Mm-hmm. So, I picked the Puyolin, of which I have blessed little information on that I could find, but I still wanted to highlight it. And actually, I made a little teensy video to go with it, since there's literally no footage anywhere of someone playing one.
Is this your own music bed in it?
No, this is actually from Puyo Puyo on Genesis.
Oh, okay. That works.
Yeah. So anyway, as you can see in here, the Puyolin, first of all, it coming out was a surprise because not many people in America knew what Puyo Puyo was. There'd never been a game in the U.S. Closest thing that we had was like Kirby's Avalanche and Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine. So when this came out by Tiger in the U.S., it was really a surprise. It's a little, LCD keychain thing. It was about yay big. I can't find mine. I'm ever regretful of this and I want another. My birthday's coming up, y'all. Anyway, it was released in 1997, licensed by Compile, made by Tiger Electronics. It came out in... of course, in Japan first, along with there was a Tempest, there was a Pong, there were a few others in the series. And in Japan, it was called Puyorin. So, if anyone can read the kana on it, it clearly says that. So they kept the same name here in the U.S. And it was basically just a little single-player Puyo Puyo game. What I thought was cool is that in fact, you can even see it right around here. It's got like the little Puyo button. But the American one basically looked exactly the same, just in English. And it was really a lot of fun. I played the crap out of one of these at my first job here, which was working at a GNC. Which was also my last part-time gig. And yeah, I know they're on Amazon for $30, but I'm going to Disneyland, so I can't pay the money right now. But at any rate, it's a fun little game, you know, it's just, you know, blip blip, you know, but I kept it on my keychain and I mine was all scuffed up and terrible by the time I was done with it. But it was a fun little toy. And for me at the time, I was just excited. Dan found it for me at like a Walmart. And it was, I think, like $10. Yeah. Something like that. But anyway, that's it. Puyolin.
I think I'd like to try one sometime. That's interesting how it kind of came out here before the games had really caught on here at all. You know, before Puyo Puyo was a thing here. I think that's interesting. So, I mean,
yeah, it was a big surprise. And now for me, I mean, Dan and I have been importing games forever, and I had copies of Puyo Puyo. And so when Dan found that and gave it to me, I mean, we were newly together at this time too, but I was delighted. And yeah, they're just really cute, fun little LCD things. Good way to waste some time.
I mean, we had the Mean Bean Machine and Kirby's Avalanche at this point.
But, that's what I said right at the beginning.
Yeah, but yeah, a lot of people didn't associate that with Puyo Puyo, of course. So, yeah.
Well, because, like I also said, nobody here had seen Puyo Puyo except those other two iterations of it. Yeah. So,
all right. Well, there it is, your classic handheld of the month.
And let's hear it for 5 minutes of video editing.
All right. All right.
Hey, I did that Ken Burns effect by hand, okay?
All right. let us travel around the industry rapidly in some rapid-fire news. And we'll go to Loki.
All right. So starting things off, it's funny. I actually played this game a while back, the original. You may have, this is a long-forgotten platformer game that was put out. Gex. He was a quick-witted gecko who used to have a bunch of different, like, pop culture one-liners and whatnot. So there was supposed to be a spinoff for the series called Gex Jr. And apparently a prototype demo was made for that back in 2001. And now that has leaked out because obviously it never became a thing. But that's pretty awesome that you can actually check it out. I probably will not be checking it out because I unfortunately don't love Gex as much as I used to anymore. That's just the thing. And then, of course, to try to get you excited about the, was it Paramount Plus, they're going to be releasing the first episode of Halo free to watch on YouTube for 1 week. And you can decide whether you want to subscribe to the series. I hear that the series falls really after the first episode, so.
That's what I hear, too.
I guess they'll trick you to come in there and watch it and disappoint you with episode two. But and by the very least, you can check out the first episode.
That first week is already in progress. March 31st was the first day, so you got to get on that quick if you want to watch it. So Bobby Blackwolf in our chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork says they did this with Picard too. The first episode is on YouTube. I believe they did that with Drag Race All-Stars 6, too, which was also a Paramount Plus exclusive. So they're doing that with a lot of the Paramount Plus shows.
I am just not interested in Paramount Plus at all.
I actually will say it's one of the better subscription services. But I'm also a Trekkie. So,
Do you like what they've been doing in Picard? Because I hear that show is not great.
I'm not up to current on that. As much as I just really said good. I'm a Trekkie, I can't.
I've heard completely the opposite.
Yeah, I'm not up to speed on season two yet, so I can't tell you. So, yeah. Okay. And as far as a lot of the reality garbage, the one thing that did piss me off about Paramount Plus was that they pulled the international versions of Survivor, which...
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, the Australian version of Survivor is so fucking good. Like, I think Jeff Probst just didn't want the competition. So, anyway. All right, Dark Soccer, what do you have?
The Nintendo Direct came with a very sad announcement. Well, you can take it both ways, but Breath of the Wild 2 has been delayed to spring 2023. They did release, though, another trailer that people are already picking apart. Did you see the state of the Master Sword? It looked like it had been eaten by acid. It was pretty crazy. But anyway, Aonuma issued an apology, and I would rather it be delayed and be good than come out on time and be terrible. So, anyway, moving on, there is a Switch Online NES. SNES collections have been updated. Earthworm Jim 2, Dig Dug 2, and Mappy Land are on the list. I freaking love all things Mappy. Mappy Land is a weird little game, though, but it's fun to have a few more on there. Although Dig Dug 2 is not super great.
Mappy Land's kind of... it's not Map. I mean, it's Mappy, but it's not Mappy.
It's not... It's Mappy World. Well, I mean, there was also... That was around the same era they were doing things like Pac-Land.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of that, so...
Japan got something kind of cool, too. I forgot what it was in the moment. Dr. Tetsuya, what was it Japan got? Because they got something kind of interesting instead of Earthworm Jim 2. They got a different title. Dig Dug 2 is weird. It's one of those games where it's just like the sequel has nothing to do with the original. And that's what is kind of weird about it.
I'll be perfectly honest. You know, I've got that little arcade one up that's got Dig Dug and Dig Dug 2 on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm considering rehoming it.
You said it's an arcade one up?
Like, well, it's not an arcade. I don't think it's an arcade one up. It's one of those little mini desktop
tape. Oh, I know what you're talking about. What else is on it? Is it just those two?
Dig Dug and Dig Dug 2.
Oh, I thought it was.
But we got the one that's got the bunch more machine, the much more games on it. Dan found one. And then we also have the one with Galaga and Galaga 98 on it.
I may or may not be interested in that, actually, because I love Dig Dug, the original. Yeah, we should talk.
Yeah, we'll
talk. But I'm also just looking at getting a Namco machine. So that has everything in it. We'll talk. We'll see. All right. Harvest Moon is the game that Japan got instead of Earthworm Jim 2. I looked at that and went, ooh, they got the better deal over there.
I don't, well, then again, I'm not the biggest fan of Earthworm Jim, so, but it's, it is very America.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. A game that burps the title in the introduction is very American, I guess. All right. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates of some new games coming to a store shelf or a digital storefront near you. Loki.
Yes. We have the Lego Star Wars, the Skywalker Saga coming out on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5. Xbox One and Xbox Series. MLB The Show 22 coming out on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Chrono Cross The Radical Dreamers Edition on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Happy's Humble Burger Farm on Nintendo Switch. That's a horror game, by the way. The House of the Dead Remake on Nintendo Switch. And that's it.
All right, let's go to Japan and check out the releases over there. I think we want to be looking at releases on April the 7th, which would include on Nintendo Switch, Behind the Screen and Defoliation comes out in a regular and a special edition. And we also have Metal Dogs in a regular and Bow Wow Wonderful edition is coming out. And by the way, this is one of those like Nintendog type of games. I don't know why they're metal dogs, but I get, now I'm looking at screenshots and literally this game looks like Nintendogs meets Contra. What the fuck? This game looks rad.
What?
This looks cool. Hold on.
I need this in my life.
Stop the presses.
Is this our new president cat?
I was like, I think we have another one of those games where I need to know, like, why doesn't this shit come out here? Unless Loki...
Link me.
I just did. Check the chat. I just linked it. For our live listeners over at Twitch.
I need this.
What is... This is awesome looking. Set in a world after the destruction of humankind, the harsh battle...
This is an old PlayStation 2 game.
Is it really?
It is.
I don't know this game.
It's super old.
So they've just ported it on the Switch because why not?
I'm going to look it up.
Huh.
Metal...
That's cool. I want that game. All right. Anyway.
Yeah, they have giant like guns on the back.
It's on Steam.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's on Steam.
Well, stop the show.
Oh my God, it's adorable.
How did I not know about this?
I'm going to put the Steam link in chat.
I guess some things slip under my nose sometimes. There's just...
I've posted stuff like this on Twitter before.
Loki, everybody, there are too many games. Too many games. There are too many games. I can't play and remember them all. And so it's one of the, and I think in the case of this game, you could probably go back to an old episode of OLR circa 2006 where I got excited about this game before, but it's been that long and I'm that old where you can show it to me again and I'm like, oh, this is new.
If you want something to be excited about on the Switch, there was a video I saw recently by John Riggs, who played a game called Super Cyborg, which looks exactly like Contra. So you should check that out.
Okay. I would be interested in a new Contra game because Konami can't. All right. Moving over to Japan's PlayStation 5 releases, we have Lego Star Wars is out there as well. MLB The Show 22 is also out in Japan this week. And that's about it. And I would read Xbox releases in Japan, but using Xbox in Japan in the same sentence doesn't work. So we will go to the UK, Dark Sakura.
How dare this only be on Windows? Biased. Anyway, on the 5th for the big three, we have Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga. We also have Crisis Remastered Trilogy for the Switch. On the 7th for the PlayStation, we have Road Maintenance Simulator. They're really getting into those Sims, aren't they? On the 8th, we have the A500 Mini, which I believe was an Amiga computer. We also have Doki Doki Literature Club Plus for PlayStation. Also Lake for PlayStation. For PlayStation and Switch, we have Skull the Hero Slayer. On the 8th, also for Switch, Legend of Mana, Final Fantasy IX, World of Final Fantasy, Nickelodeon Kart Racers. And that's Fini.
All right, we have a few more news stories for you all, and then we'll get to the listener roundtable, where you can call and chat with us on our Discord server, or you can send us emails to participate@orangelaunchradio.com, or you can ask us questions in chat about whatever you like. But before we get there, we have some more stories, so we're going to start with Loki.
Yes, so this is a story about how Epic is being sued because Fortnite stole someone else's dance. You may remember that we've kind of gone through this before, and I believe that the court system said that they couldn't award damages to the choreographer before because those dance numbers or routines were not copyrighted. But that brings us to today, where we have now a lawyer representing the choreographer, Kyle Hanagami. He sued Epic for copyright infringement for his It's Complicated, the dance emote in Fortnite. But he does actually have the copyright for his choreography. So,
okay,
uh-oh.
That's a different story.
Uh-oh, I guess Epic Games is going to have to get rid of it or settle,
but
which Epic, they probably will.
But Epic Games is a poor little indie company with no money. Whatever are they going to do?
Yeah. So they did not credit him nor consent to use, display, reproduce, sell, or create derivatives based off of his registered choreography.
It is a bummer in a way because meme dances are a lot of fun to see show up in games. Like, remember World of Warcraft back when it was cool?
They're profiting off of this stuff, though.
Yeah, no, I get. Yeah, when you're selling, well, does Fortnite sell that as a microtransaction? I imagine they do.
I believe that they do.
Yeah, then that's where it gets dicey. And where, yeah, the director or the choreographer, excuse me, probably deserves their fair share of the money. Yeah. Interesting thing about Fortnite. I did not realize that the building, I knew they were taking it out for the season, but I guess there's now like a no build mode in the game permanently. Like where you can play Fortnite without the building element. And never before have I wanted to actually try Fortnite again more. Because the building was the thing I never understood.
You take the only distinct thing out of Fortnite. Cool. Generic shooters. Yay.
I have no interest in playing Fortnite.
Generic shooter with Ariana Grande. Just saying. She's important. All right. Moving on.
Actually, Ariana Grande does usually have a presence on my stream. I will admit.
Right.
A little less conversation.
As she should. All right. Moving on. Dark Sakura.
So the developer of Abandoned claims they reached out to Silent Hill's the publisher Konami, evil, to try to get the license for Silent Hill. Hassan Karaman reached out, and the quote is, "I reached out to them. I was stressed out because people thought it was Silent Hill about his game. It got so out of hand. You know, you're this small developer. You've never had a big audience. You're inexperienced. I reached out to Konami saying, hey, you know what? It was never my intention. And they were really cool." There's people out there thinking that his game is a Silent Hill game, and I'm like, why do you think that? Can you not read the title? Can you not read that Kojima had nothing to do with this?
Internet, you know? Gonna internet.
So dumb. I mean, I don't want to use that word. It's so pointless.
Yeah.
But anyway, and also, there are rumors that Abandon would be canceled, and the rumors are false.
Well, it sounds like it's a pretty kick-butt game. It sounds like that, you know, if people keep comparing it and wanting it to be a Silent Hill game so badly, let's be real, that hollow husk of a once great company is never going to put out a Silent Hill game that's worthy of our time. So, you know, why not play that spiritual successor, even if it's not actually a successor? I don't know.
We could have had one.
I know.
But no.
I know, but no. Konami is just the first of many bad decisions by Konami. But you know what? We've talked about that literally a million times. So let's go on to our next story. Loki.
Yes. So this is exciting because I completely forgot about it. But apparently the Stanley Parable Ultra Deluxe
so cool.
is going to be coming out April 27th. So that is very soon. And you'll be able to play that on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. And I'm assuming PC. So
well, I would hope, because that's
I can't wait.
Where most people play the game originally. But yeah, how many years from the original is this finally coming out? That's pretty cool. It's been a while.
A long time.
It's been a long time. So I almost feel like the original can be a classic game of the week pretty soon. So, all right.
Probably, yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of classic games, that takes me to our last official headline of tonight and the potential of a Capcom Arcade second stadium being released. Apparently, the Game Rating and Administration Committee of Korea has rated Capcom Arcade second stadium for PC. The ratings board in Korea has kind of leaked games before, so this is definitely one of those, oh, there might be smoke and fire type of thing here. This would be a follow-up to the Capcom Arcade Stadium Collection that was released in February 2021. What's interesting about that, though, is that I thought the first stadium was built to be where, I mean, you get download packs for the first one. Like, I thought the first one was supposed to be editable enough so that they could add stuff to it. I don't see why they need to release a second stadium. That seems weird. And I don't even know if I can blame a money thing, because I'm pretty sure Capcom Arcade Stadium is free and you get like one game with it. But then, of course, you know, in the great tradition, and other games do this too, like the Pinball FX type of things, you have to pay for all the extra machines. So it's not even really a money thing. It's just weird that it's not all just going into Capcom Arcade Stadium. I don't know why they need to have two different stadiums. So weird. And Dark Tetsuya in our chat seems to agree with that line of thinking, saying, sounds like it might be a whole new thing. I agree. I thought for sure they would just expand the first one. Yeah, that part doesn't make sense. So we'll see. What has apparently also been rated is Capcom Arcade Second Stadium Bundle 1. So that also implies that it will be in packs. There was a lot missing from the first arcade stadium because Capcom's made a lot of arcade games. But there was a lot of good stuff in that first one too. Like I know Darksoccer is very, very partial to Strider, the original arcade game, and that is in there. You know, one of the Street Fighter games, not all of them, but one of the, you know, or maybe two, I can't remember, but that's in there. But it's certainly missing a lot of stuff. So it'll be interesting to see. I wonder if they'll put in it some of the games they've released before, like Magic Sword. They put out Magic Sword and Final Fight in a compilation on Xbox 360, and I think PS3 in that era. I'd be very curious if maybe they just release it again in this compilation. I wonder if it's not some of those games. So, Dark Tetsuya says, if they put Black Tiger in it, I'm more than happy to pick it up. Yeah. So, all right. Anyhow, that is everything we officially had on the agenda for tonight, but it's time for the listener roundtable and your thoughts. If you have any emails, you can send them to participate@orangeloungeradio.com. I don't think we had any tonight, but let me check with Dark Sakura on that. I could have got that wrong.
Nada.
She's shaking her head. All right. Usually I would fill this time with Drag Race chatter when we don't get emails, but to be fair, I did already talk about that earlier in the evening, so I'm not going to put y'all through it again.
Yes, you did.
So if you guys have any questions in chat, you can go ahead and ask those over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork or any topics maybe we didn't cover that you're curious about our take on. And of course, if you want to give us a call, VogNetwork.com, VogNetwork.com/Discord, and the Green Room is the place to go, and we'll bring some callers on the show that way.
Where all the cool kids are, right?
Yeah. So let me check and see maybe if there's any last-minute stories that Loki has that maybe we want to get into first.
Sony has laid off 90 employees because as part of their sales and marketing staff or merchandising staff. And they're focusing more. They were apparently they're focusing more direct to consumer, and so they don't really need those folks.
Well, if you're selling digital PS5s, that's the only way to go, right?
I guess, yeah. So that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
I did like that with the free games with Prime that we get with Twitch and stuff like that. That one of the games is called Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion.
It's that game. It's
how appropriate
pretty,
for this season.
I didn't even know that was
pretty
a thing.
Funny.
That's great. I didn't know that was a thing. I'll have to check that out.
And Monkey Island 2 Special Edition. And Oblivion.
There are so many free games I forget to grab like all the time. So especially on Twitch. Twitch has a ton of them. I keep forgetting. Does Twitch still run their own client? I'm pretty sure they do. Like they have their own front end store.
Some are part of that. Some are like I know in this one, Elder Scrolls 4 is part of Good Old Games. Plants vs. Zombies is Origin. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a mixed bag.
Oh, Digirama S says the Twitch app is being shut down. Oh, I didn't know that. I mean, it's
so
not
where all my games going.
Hugely surprising.
That's probably like through Amazon Gaming or something like that, through your digital library through them.
Probably. Oh, you know what I would do if I was Amazon? I'd push it all through Luna. That's what I'd do.
Yeah,
maybe that's what they're aiming to do.
Yeah. I would be shocked if that isn't if they're really running that siloed over there, then I don't understand Amazon's strategy, because the smart thing to do would be to push it all into Luna and have people install a Luna client on their desktop, and then they can stream these games over here, but these ones in their library they can, you know, run for free or whatever. So interesting. All right, so yeah, Rama says the desktop app is shutting down. I guess I'm not totally surprised, but maybe a little surprised. I don't know. Any other last minute stories, Loki?
Nope.
No?
No, sorry.
All right. Well, let me see. What else can I talk about? I was trying to see if there's anything from my trip I didn't get into. I lost a lot of money. So the little parody intro tonight was not a joke. I lost a lot. Well, look, I set a budget and I stick to the budget. So I know I'm walking into this and I'm going to lose this money. So, yeah, except the one time I won a bunch of money, then I didn't lose it. But that doesn't happen all the time. Tiger Claw bringing the receipts on the Twitch desktop app saying, "It's true, the Twitch desktop app will be shut down on April 30th. We've made the difficult decision to say goodbye to the Twitch desktop app on April 30th. This decision was not made lightly and came from a combination of usage and user feedback. This move allows us to invest more heavily in enhancing and adding new ways to engage with the creators and communities you care about. If you're used to using the Twitch desktop app, we recommend bookmarking Twitch TV in your browser of choice for easy access." But what happens to the library of games? I have like a shit ton of Neo Geo games. They gave away like 30 Neo Geo games once on there. I have a shit ton
of those. Yeah.
And I think that they're like, you can redeem like whenever. So
yeah. So I'm curious where those end up going. So we'll see. All right. Well, I guess if there's no other comments and no other thoughts, we will move to wrap up tonight's show around the 2-hour mark, but that's all right. I guess it was a lighter week with me being out of town, and April Fool's Day kind of gets in the way of the real news for a day. So it is what it is. But thank you, of course, everybody, for being here tonight. We always appreciate your support here at Orange Lounge Radio. If you enjoyed the show, help us spread the word. Tell a friend or two about the show, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here on air, we can't get them out there. A nice 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, Google, wherever you found this show, a nice 5-star review on the platform and social media shares, they go an awful long way. So we really appreciate everyone that does that. I don't know what else to say. Thank you so much for being here. We'll do it again next week. It's time to get everybody's final thoughts. And Dark Sakura, I see you setting up ready to go with your post show. So what's your final thought tonight?
I need chocolate. Bye. Also, I am 56 followers away from 500, and I'm so excited.
Oh, good luck with that. I know you've been pushing to get that. It's tough because it's like, it's hard to, you know, get people to like follow me because I'm close. You know, it's hard to do that, but you just have to kind of keep the pedal to the metal and hope it sticks. So
yeah, and I mean, it's just a number, really. Mm-hmm. But something like that for me, having been back into doing this for a year, it's definitely something that would mean a lot to me.
Yeah.
Especially by my birthday. But yeah. I'm putting a lot of work into this upcoming marathon, and you know, it's not like I even care about the subs as much. I just want to have my friends around for a virtual birthday party, and just, you know, kill salty survivors.
All right. Well, good luck. Have fun. And we'll see you killing salty survivors in a minute here after OLR live on Twitch. So have a good night.
Later, Tater.
All right. We'll go to Loki. Your final thought tonight.
So my final thought is, in order to access your Twitch games that you have through Prime Gaming, you have to get the Amazon Gaming app.
Aha. Okay. So there is another app. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's too bad. Let's see, my final thought. I don't know if I have a lot. I didn't stream at all last week because I was gone for half of it, so I hope to do some streaming this week of I don't know what I'll play, but I'll find something. There's always lots of games to catch up on, many things I need to play, so I will try to get on that. Otherwise, I was very thankful to have a break from work is fine. Even if you love your job, it's just nice to get a little break from that routine and just do something silly with my husband, which is exactly what we did, and just he had never been to Vegas before. So it was nice to take him to a new place and eat some good food. We got to go to Benihana because they don't have one here.
I know.
Anymore. And you know my rule.
You know,
I don't go to restaurants I can eat at home when I'm on vacation. However, I no longer can eat Benihana at home. So we had to
but
go.
There's a teppanyaki place that's better than Benihana's in Roseville now. It's over by the Hobby Lobby.
No, I didn't know
that. You got to go there. Yeah.
It's really good. That Hobby Lobby, I grew up in that area. And that used to be a Mervyn's back in the day. Know that place very well because every Sunday my mom went to Mervyn's and it was definitely the open thing.
Yeah, it's
in there.
Japan, something or other. But like we went there once and so good.
Okay.
Like it is actually better than Benihana.
Legit. Alan and I are going to try it because we love those places. So
yeah, it's really good. Like everything, just like all of the food was just so well seasoned. It was just so good.
Pop Culture says he had never been to Vegas. Nope. Every time I had been previously, I went to like 3 Final Fantasy 14 conventions, but he didn't really play. He didn't care. That was something I kind of did either with Shane or other friends or whatever. And then I went there once with one of my gal pals, Melody, in the Bay Area, and we went and saw Gwen Stefani, and that was just something where it was a girls' weekend. So, yeah. So, anyway. All right. Well, I hope you all have a fantastic week and eat some great food, and we'll see you in 7 days to do it all again. Have a wonderful night, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor VogNetwork, but you know they were all still true.